Good morning to you all. I usually ask a question, can you see my head? But today I'm not asking that. I'm going to tell a story. Two police officers stopped me in my car one day. This is what they said. I was coming from after doing a Bible study. I was working with Pastor Keith in Belmont. So it was a Tuesday night around about 9:30, 10 o'clock. I could see the police car with that siren. So I parked to one side. Two officers came. Sir, please give me a license. I gave the license. They went and checked in their car, I think. They came back and said, okay, sir, you can go now. They said in a very big smile. Then I asked, with a big smile, I asked them, so why did you stop my car? Is there a reason? Then one of the lady officers, she told me, I'm thinking whether to tell you or not to tell you. I told her, please tell me. Then this is what she told. We two officers thought, a small boy is driving the car. So when you go home, if somebody asks, who is the preacher today, this morning, you can please tell, a small boy preached today. What a wonderful God we have. He gives us time to laugh, to preach the gospel, as King David says in Psalm 31, verse 15, my times are in God's hands. I like that one. I was preaching there, I was saying this one, our times are in not doctor's hand, our times are in God's hands. This was in Mount Hawthorne Church when he was the assistant pastor. Soon after saying that, I opened my eyes, I could see three medical doctors were there. After the service, one of the doctors came to me. I was thinking, aha, now what to do? You know, my heart was going giddy, 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 giddy. Then this is what he told, no, Stanley, what you said is very correct. Our times are in God's hand. What I do with my medical knowledge, if that man is going to die in two days, some kind of a medical treatment with God's knowledge I do it, then God give him the extension of life. It is really very correct. Our times are God's hands. I like to share the word of God from 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 9. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. Before that, I would like to say a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for giving us good sleep last night. We thank you for helping us to come and take part in the morning service today. Oh God, there are many countries Christians cannot meet in this way. There are so much persecution going on. But we thank you for your holy words. Bless your holy words this morning. Please encourage my heart, encourage all our hearts, and please give us thankful hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is a very familiar passage, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Here, the verse 9, it says, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. Now, when Peter was writing this letter, there was a group of people discouraging the new believers. You don't listen to John. You don't listen to Paul. You don't listen to other people, other disciples. You just listen to us. Actually, they were the false teachers. Also, Acts chapter 17, verse 18 says, there were some highly Greek intellectual people. And the one group, it is known as Stoics. And the other group, as known as Epicureans. Now, the Stoics' philosophy was that human happiness is a product of life according to the nature. In other words, God is not given importance but nature. Now the other philosopher, the other side, Epicureans, they said that they can fly through empty spaces. This is part of the Hindu philosophy. I have a book with me now. It goes Beyond Birth and Death. This is the part of the Hindu philosophy. A man in Subiaco, he's running some seminars, how to fly through these empty spaces. So this is come from the Greek philosophy, then also somehow got into this Hindu philosophy. So the believers were confused. Temples everywhere. Temple prostitutes everywhere. Sacrifices everywhere. Idol worships everywhere. Wrong teachings going on. In such a time, when the new believers were confused, Peter was reminding them, you are a chosen people. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are a people belonging to God. Now, if you ask an Indian man, how many gods you have, an Indian will say, we have 3 million gods. I do not know what kind of computer they use to count all these gods. My son is a computer intellectual. I asked him, do you know anything about this? He said, no. I have no idea. Right. Now, the Romans and the Greeks, the society, they had many, many gods. Male gods and the female gods. According to the Book of Acts, the famous female goddess was Diana. Famous for family prosperity. Famous for childbirth. In India, every home you will find a female goddess called Lakshmi. That is for family prosperity, business, the success in their businesses, childbirth, like that. Now, Acts chapter 17 verse 16 says, now, while Paul was waiting for them, his spirit was provoked. Why Paul's spirit was provoked? The next line says, when he saw the city was full of idols. Some translations say the city was given over to idols. We have a big city in India called Banaras in North India. In one city, can you believe 10,000 temples in one city? I think it was about 30, 31 years ago. I took a team with my wife Jansi, about 10 or 13 students to that place. It took 2 days to travel from south to north. 10,000 temples. When we went there, I met a Christian group. They said, Stanley, why did you come all the way from south? This is a very dangerous place. The famous river Ganga, Ganges, runs through that. They will kill you, they will beat you, throw into that river. So do the ministry carefully, get out of this place as soon as possible. I took about 20,000 leaflets and New Testaments. In 10 days, everything gone. God protected us. Nothing happened to us. One city, 10,000 temples. Now, in Australia, you may not have 10,000 temples in one city, but you have many other things preventing of worshipping the living God. I will repeat that again. In Australia, you may not have 10,000 temples in one city. But in Australia, there are many other things preventing people worshipping the living God. Did you get my broken English? Very good. Dr. Billy Graham, he was talking to young people in one of the universities. He asked them, young boys and girls, do you believe in God? Dead silence. Again he asks, young boys and girls, do you believe in God? Silence. Third time. Then after third time, a young fellow stood up and this is what he said, sir, I believe in my own private gods. Then in one of his books, this is what Dr. Billy Graham says. What are those private gods? Money, politics, sex, drugs, occult worship, witchcraft, gambling, all the worldly things. And very sadly, these have become idols in our life. And very sadly, all these things have gone into Christian families. That is the sad part of the story today. Before my heart surgery in 2017, 4 years ago, I went to 2 big cities in America. I went to New York and I went to Los Angeles. I was staying with an American pastor and doing some seminars and ministry. So one day I thought I'll go out and see some books. I always like books with full of jokes. So I thought I can go and see some American jokes. So but when I went, these are the books I found. All the bookshelves are full of books with witchcraft, occult worship, palm reading, talking to the dead spirits, fortune telling, and so many dangerous things, very, very ungodly things. We find that in Romans, Paul said, Romans 1:25, that means man and woman, exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the created things rather than the Creator God. Very sadly, that is what's happening around the world today. It's very sad. That's what's happening. But God's chosen people, we have to remember we are chosen by God. You are a chosen generation, chosen by God to live a godly life. That is the difference. That is the difference here Peter was explaining to the new believers. Yes, so many ungodly things are happening, but you are a chosen people. You are a holy nation. John 15:16. You did not choose me, but I have chosen you. John 6:44. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws to him. Now, what is the main reason God has chosen us? God has graciously chosen us to worship Him, to love Him, to live a godly life, to share the message of salvation, to lift the name of Jesus Christ in our families, to lift the name of Jesus Christ in our workplace, to lift the name of Jesus Christ in our community, in the local places, to lift the name of Jesus Christ in our churches. That is the reason God has graciously chosen us. 1 Peter 2:9, God has called us out of darkness, into His wonderful light. Now there are many are living in darkness. It is my responsibility, it is your responsibility, it is our responsibility to bring the people out of darkness into His wonderful light. That is the reason Peter was reminding, you are a chosen people. There was a famous preacher in the 1834, Charles Spurgeon. Charles Spurgeon, this is what he said. The Bible is not the light of the world. It is the light of the church. I like to read that line again. The Bible is not the light of the world. It is a light of the church. But the world does not read the Bible. The world reads Christians. Did you please note that line? The world reads Christians. You are the light of the world. I come from Sri Lanka. In Sri Lanka we had a very famous theologian, highly intellectual man in 1960s. He has written so many books on theology, so many books on mission, many books on evangelism. He was the chairman of the World Council of Churches. Then one day in a conference, someone asked him, Dr. Niles, can you tell in a nutshell, briefly, in 2-3 words, what is evangelism? This is what he said. Evangelism means one beggar telling another beggar where he found food. It's a very good way of sharing. Am I correct? One beggar telling another beggar where he found food. That is evangelism. And I pray that God will give us His grace and strength to do this ministry. Now he says, you are a royal priesthood. How do we understand this? What is royal priesthood? In the book of Leviticus, in the Old Testament, it talks about priesthood, priestly ministry. But in the New Testament, we all are priests. We all have priestly ministry. There is a priestly ministry everywhere. In our families, there's a priestly ministry. In our community, there's a priestly ministry. In our churches, wherever we go, there is a priestly ministry. I can give a long list, but I will give you a short list. What is priestly ministry? Teaching the word of God, priestly ministry. Preaching the word of God, priestly ministry. Worship service, leading worship service. Administration, Sunday school, door knocking, hospital visits, prison ministry, looking after the widows, poor and needy people. As I said, this priestly ministry we can do everywhere. The question is this, can God trust Stanley Abraham this morning with this priestly ministry he has given to him? Can God trust you all this morning with various priestly ministry he has given to you all? Can God trust all of us this morning with various ministry he has given to us? Such a time like this. Such a time like this. Now how we have to do this priestly ministry? We have to do this priestly ministry with love and kindness. With understanding. Of course we have to do this priestly ministry with tough love. Little later on I will say what is this tough love. Unfortunately our human nature is we very quickly judge others. Ah, that man is not good. This family is not good. But we forget what Jesus said in Luke's Gospel chapter 6 verse 37. Jesus said, do not judge others. That's what Jesus said. We are not judges, but we are God's witnesses. We are not judges, but we are God's witnesses. And we have priestly ministry everywhere. Now I was telling that tough love. The tough love, what I meant is, we have to tell the people there is a judgment day. We have to tell the people there is a heaven, there is hell. Repent, come back to God. That also should be included in our ministry, in our priestly ministry. We are not men pleasers. Ephesians 6:6, not with eye service as men pleases, but God pleases. You know, that man died in a young age, the computer expert, Apple computer, I think Steve Jobs, I think his name, Steve Jobs. He said, if you want to please everyone, this is what he said in one of his talks, if you want to please everyone, then you go and sell ice cream. But with the word of God, there are times we have to say, repent, there is a judgment day. Repent, there is heaven. Repent, there is hell. Come back to God. You have to preach that gospel. And please pray for me. I'm just counting the days when the airlines will start. I want to go to India. I want to go to Sri Lanka. I want to go to Malaysia. To share the people. Come back to God. Now the time has come. That's the thing. And we have to treat the people. Due to COVID, many have lost their jobs. Gone into alcohol, drugs, so many things are happening, but we have to treat them in a very kind way, Christian way, loving way. A street man went and knocked the gate of a rich man. The rich man opened the house, and this poor street man said, sir, I'm very hungry, can you please give me something to eat? The rich man said, okay, you come through the backyard, there's a gate. You come through the backyard. There's a gate. You come there. So when that poor man went, this rich man, what he did? He gave him some very old and very cold something to eat. As that man was about to eat, this rich man said, "Sir, you must pray before you eat. Do you know how to pray?" The man said, "Sir, I don't know how to pray." "Okay, I will teach you. You say this prayer." The rich man prayed like this. "Our Father in heaven," you know the Lord's Prayer, "Our Father in heaven." Repeat after me. That poor man said, "Your Father in heaven." Second time, "Our Father in heaven." He said, "Your Father in heaven." Third time, "Our Father in heaven." He said again, "Your Father in heaven." So the rich man stopped and said, "You must say, our Father. Why are you saying your Father, your Father, your Father?" This is what that street man said, "Sir, if he is our Father, you'd have asked me to come from the front door. If he is our Father, you'd have made me to sit down at the dining table. If he is our Father, you'd have given me a warm food." I think the lesson what we learn from that story is we can't invite everyone and everybody to the front door. But we can show them with love, with respect, and we can treat them in far better way. That's the message of that story. And I pray the people will see these people, these Christians, they are a separate people. That's what Peter was trying that new believers to show to the others. You are a chosen people. You are a royal priesthood. Now he said, "You are a holy nation. You are a holy nation." Of course, we have to remember that we have to live a godly, holy life. Because the God who called us is holy. And we have to lead a holy life. I pray there will be more holiness in my life, more holiness in your life, more holiness in our churches, and I pray that we will be a people, a holiness in our lives. Now also to do this priestly ministry and all other ministry, God has given us gifts and talents. Ephesians 1:3, "Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessings in Christ." If there are 100 people here, to all of you, God has given some kind of gift. Sometimes maybe 3 gifts, 4 gifts, at least 1 gift. So on the judgment day, we cannot say, "God, you did not give me any gifts." And I pray that we will find out what is our gift and we will use it for God's glory. Because 1 Peter 4:10 says, "Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others." 1 Corinthians 12:4, "There are different kinds of gifts, but one Spirit. There are different kinds of activities, but one God, one Spirit." Now, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Paul says, "You will receive the power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." The English word would be, the Greek word would be dunamos, and the English word would be dynamite. The dynamite, dunamos, it break the strong things into pieces. Likewise, God's word has the power to break all the things, to change the life of the people. Dunamos, dynamite. Always please remember when you take the Bible, you are taking dunamos with you, dynamite with you. This is not in like any other books. This is a different book. This got the dynamite, dunamos, to change the life of the people. Praise God for that. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12, "For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates to dividing soul." Now, I said God has chosen us. Now, does God take his chosen people through difficult times? The answer is yes. In the Old Testament, prophets, leaders. In the New Testament, God took all of them through very difficult times. There was a man we read in the Old Testament. This man sat down under a tree and he said like this, I have had enough. God, take my life. Who is that man? Elijah. Then there was another man. God wanted this man to be God's prophet. But you know what this man said? I do not know how to speak, for I am only a child. Maybe in my time I can say, I am only a boy. That is Jeremiah. That's what he said. Another man, he said, my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear me. You do not answer me. That is King David in Psalm 22, verse 2. Then there was another man, very filthy, rich man. But one day, in no time, tuck, tick, took. He lost everything. Everything gone. Bankrupt. Then he cursed that day he was born. The day of his birth. May that day perish on which I was born. That's the way. Then there is Paul who says the 18 difficult times he went through in when he was sharing the gospel. So the answer is God takes his chosen one through discouraging times. By God's grace, I am in the ministry for the past 44 years. Do you think I had Christmas every day? No, not at all. There are times India and Hindus have beaten me. They have spat on me. They were looking for this man, where we can find this man and hit this man. So sleepless nights I went through. But God protected me. That one I can say. God stood with me. So do not be discouraged. Here Paul says some of the difficulties he went through. And I have been in danger from rivers. When you have time, when you go home, please read that one. 2 Corinthians 11:26. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from Gentiles, in danger at sea, often gone without sleep. Now, after giving a list, did he say, this is enough, God, I am closing down, I am stopping my ministry? No, this is what he says in 2 Corinthians 11:28. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all my churches. What he was sharing is his greatest desire was, God, my concern is of my new churches. My concern is of my new believers. Then he said, Philippians 3:10, I want to know him more and the power of his resurrection. I want to know him more. I pray this morning that will be our great desire. God, whatever happens around me, this COVID is doing so many bad things. I can't travel any other places. People are losing jobs. Many are getting into trouble. In all these things, God, I want to know you more and the power of his resurrection. I pray that will be our desire. We have to focus. We have to focus in one thing. I think maybe 50 years ago I read in the Reader's Digest two lines. Still I remember. If you chase two rabbits, both will escape. Have you read that one? If you chase two rabbits, both will escape. It talks about focus. Focus on heavenly things. Focus on the coming of Jesus Christ. Focus. This morning when I wake up, what can I do for my God? That's the one focus. John Wesley, the Methodist founder, this is what he said. You have one business, not two business, not three business, not five business. You have one business on earth. That is to share the message of salvation. And Paul put it little different way to young Timothy. Young Timothy, you preach the gospel in season and out of season. Now why did he say season and out of season? The reason is, like India, Hindu country, Sri Lanka, Buddhist country. In Buddhist country, if a young man is going for an interview, he will go to the palm readers or the astrology to see what time I must leave my house. What is the good time? What day I must start a business? If you are doing this cultivation, what time I should start those throwing the seeds? They look for. The Greek society was like that. So Peter was reminding young Timothy, young man, to preach the gospel. All the 24 hours are good. You preach the gospel in season and out of season. That's the message. And I pray that this time is a good time for us to preach the gospel. So four things he said. No, you are a chosen people, royal priesthood, holy nation. You are a people belonging to God. John 1:18. No one has ever seen God. That's what the Bible says. No one has ever seen God. I have never seen God. But, I can feel always God is with me. That's a difference. With our naked eyes, we cannot see God. That's what John 1:18 says. But we can feel God is with us. This is an Indian story, but I saw this in many other books, this story. You know, a small boy, he was flying a kite. The kite went up, up, up and disappeared. An old man was going, passing that way. He saw this small boy looking up, full of joy, and he asked that small boy, "My dear friend, what are you doing?" The small boy said, "Sir, I'm flying a kite." The old man looked up and he said, "My dear friend, I can see the kite." You know what the small boy said? "Sir, even I cannot see the kite. It has gone up, up, up into the sky. It disappeared. But I can feel it. How? I'm holding the string and the string is pulling me up. I'm holding the string. The string is pulling me up." I pray this morning to this worship service. You might have come to this service with worries, with anxieties, financial difficulties, health is not good, confused, everything looks very dark and gloomy, do not know what to do, where to go, with whom can I share my troubles. My dear friends, as you leave this place, please remember three things. God is always with us. That's the first one. Second one, we are a people belonging to God. And the third one, Psalm 48 verse 14. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even to death. Amen. Amen. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank you for your holy words. And God, I pray this morning, you will encourage my heart, encourage our hearts with your holy words. God, the harvest is plentiful, the workers are few. And I pray that you will use each and every one of us to share the good news. Please give us thankful hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.